Graham Atwell welcoming you back to the Sounds of the Bazaar SSBR Conference Special Programme, the lunchtime slot. It's nice to see a few of you in the room at the moment. Some of you are obviously away getting your food. I love to see our poster in the middle of the room there with all your cups on it. Well, I'm interested in what you're having for your lunch. What do you do for your lunch? Do you go to the university canteen? Do you bring sandwiches in and eat them at your desk? Are you on the takeaways or are you just a cup of coffee person? Well, feel free to chat in or to take your photos and show us what you're having for your lunch. What we got on the lunchtime slot? Well, we've got some pretty exciting stuff lined up for you. We've got Leo Kerr coming on the programme in a bit from Sheffield, I think, to talk about the We Camp project. We'll play a few more musical tracks after that. And then we've got James Wisdom, and I really hang in and listen to this interview because we're going to be talking to him about the Higher Education Framework document. I know it only came out a week ago, but James got contracted by CEDA to do an analysis for them of the document. I don't think that his analysis is public yet, but James has agreed to talk to us about his interpretations of what the Higher Education Framework document may mean for the future of your institution. And obviously it's an extremely relevant theme for what we're talking about today. Okay, I'm in the Pontedusky Studios here in Bremen, Germany. It's a dark grey day outside, but it's light inside. And we're going to be talking more about light bulbs during this break, actually. We've been having a pretty animated discussion. There's light bulbs, Joe. Got the crew here. Emma on computers, Dirk on the sound, and Joe with me introducing the music. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome back, Joe. Okay, what's the next track we're playing, Joe?
The next track is one by The Wookiees called 50s Life.
The Wookiees.
Hi.
Ho trovato questa notte, come dire, sono poco così. Già sentite? Sì, lo so che sono banali, sono sempre quelle solite tre. Un po' antiche. Se torni indietro di un po', tra cade la like jukebox, tra twist e woogie woogie, più che altro rock and roll, sentirai che questo motivetto è molto familiare, perciò vorrei una bella Cadillac azzurro chiaro del 56, con una radio che mi renda felice, tanto il mio disco che un jukebox con mille luci, 10.000 canzoni che parlano di sole, parli amore ed emozioni, tutte quelle del momento, voglio proprio tutta lì.
Welcome to Sounds of the Bazaar special for SSBR. Can you tell me what the We Camp project's about?
Hi, Graham. Yes. We Camp is a web-based 3D visualisation platform which allows people to explore the University of Sheffield campus, both the buildings and the spaces, inside and out. So the aim of this tool is to employ it in the design and planning and management of the learning environments around the university. So staff and students can use this 3D model to explore these spaces and to then think in different ways about how these learning environments within and around the university can be developed to make them better.
And what do you hope will happen as a result of the project?
Well, I think what we'd like to happen is that more people become engaged in the process of thinking about learning and teaching and how you can use technology to enhance that, to enhance the way people learn and the way they use their learning spaces.
And who's using the project now? What kind of stakeholders are you engaged with?
Well, we've been working with a number of departments around the university, including estates, learning and teaching, and we've just started a project working with the Students' Union, who've got a 5 million refurbishment project for their union building. And we've recently started with them to develop a new 3D model of their proposed building, and we've already modelled the existing one. And we're going to use the new model throughout the construction process to try and engage staff and students on how to improve and to develop the ideas of the spaces within the new union building, because currently, you know, there's lots of facilities, shops and bars and that sort of thing, but the union is really keen to make the union building not just a place for leisure, but a place where student groups can go and learn and work with each other in different ways. So there's a lot of flexible space in there that hasn't been designed to such a degree, and we hope that the model can be used to help with that, but also on a very basic level, like wayfinding, like telling people where the new entrances are whilst the building's being constructed. So it works on all sorts of levels, really.
This modelling you're talking about, I'm quite intrigued by this. How are you doing this? Is it web-based software?
Yes, it is. What we're doing, I'm not a technical person, so I hope this makes sense. But what we're using is an open source software called X3D, which allows you to convert quite complicated computer building designs, 3D models, into quite a simple, small file size, essentially. But and then what you do is you load up the X3D files onto the platform, and it can, and it's got a special X3D viewer as well, which is open source software. So you can basically, you can look at very complicated models of buildings, but in very small file format, so it downloads quickly and is easily accessible.
And in terms of teaching and learning, how do you see the impact there? Or especially, how do you see this impacting on institutions, this sort of process?
Well, I think it impacts on students in lots of different ways. I mean, we've been we're based in the School of Architecture, so we've been working with our students to use the platform as a kind of design tool in their projects. So when they can actually design new buildings, say for the campus, make new proposals and upload them, and you can actually view proposals in amongst the existing, which I think is really interesting to be able to do. So on one level, that's how it could work. On another level, we're hoping that that other students will be able to engage in it by talking about, commenting on the spaces that they work and learn in, and be able to comment on how good they are and how they might be changed, how they might be improved to benefit as kind of learning around the university. So that's on one level. In terms of institutionally, it's endless, really. Our problem is we show this to people and they say, oh, I'd love to use it for this, or, ooh, you know, this would be great for me for this. And what we're having to say is, wouldn't it? And we think we could do that, but just not quite in the scope of this project. So we think there's, as a kind of basic setup, as a kind of this sort of receptacle for information, it's virtually limitless. And the way the software works, it allows you to, everything's georeferenced, so we can kind of plot or map lots of spatial data into the model. So there's all sorts of things you can do. You can even put video footage and actually build it into the structure, the fabric of the building. So you could put a kind of video on the wall of a building and it would actually appear as if it existed in that space. So, wow. You know, there's loads of mileage.
And you've got a benefits realisation project running now. What's that about?
Yes, well, it hasn't been we haven't had the green light as of yet, but we're working towards that. But we're working with the iBorrow team at Christchurch, Canterbury, and we've just started a conversation with the SMART team at Bucks New University as well. So we're hoping to kind of pool our skills and resources and try and move things on. So the iBorrow team were looking at mapping mobile technology and the student use of mobile technology within their a new kind of, I forgot what the name of the building's called, but it's a new library and sort of student learning area. And the new books have got the Gateway building, which has only been open a year or so, which is a kind of mixed use building for learning, but also resources and information for students. So we're hoping to make a model of the Gateway building, use the iBorrow technology to develop that, to try and map the way students and staff are using mobile technology in the building. And then the book's new specialism is in looking at how students learn informally and how staff and students kind of work together on sort of mentoring schemes. So we're hoping to bring all that together and be able to visualise some of these kind of the way people use technology in space to see how that might affect the design of these types of learning environments in the future.
It sounds a fabulous project to me, Leo. If people want to know more about it, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, we're having this conversation on Skype, so you can find me there if you'd like to try and hook up with me from that point of view.
Your Skype name's Leo Kerr, yes?
That's right, so it's very simple. Our phone number is in Sheffield, 0114-222-0304, and my email address is l.kerr@sheffield.ac.uk. And also, we've got a really good website, if I do say so myself, and blog, so you can find us on that, and which is at wecampus.blogspot.com. And from there, you can also download the UCampus platform, so anyone can look at the work that we've currently developing and try it out for themselves, really. So you can, if you go to the blog, you can download it and see what we've done.
And I'm certainly going to be giving it a try, and I'd recommend that you do. Thanks, Leo, for coming on the programme. Absolutely fabulous project. Check it out.
La macchina è cambiata. Gli amici quanto sono passati e io sono ancora qua, desiderando mille volte la mia dura Cadillac, ma non potrò tornare indietro per vedere che è sbagliata. Vorrei vedere nella mia chitarra tutto trasmesso bianco e nero, anche se ormai quel che si vede nella televisione non c'è niente di vero. Vorrei che la mia ragazza si vestisse d'amore con più vestiti di nicote, poi buttiamo in fuso che un po' di
Wookies, that's followed up the interview with Leo Kerr. Leo, thanks for coming on the programme. Of course, it strikes me, Wookiee, isn't that the name of that server that Scott Wilson's developed for widgets? Yes, perhaps Scott, if you get to hear about this programme, you could be thinking about adopting that as the theme tune for your Wookiee server. Okay, it's a pretty tight lunchtime slot, isn't it? Because we've still got James Wisdom to come talking about the new HE framework document. And of course, this is live radio and you do get your chance to come on, you know. You can just Skype me, Graham Atwell. Just put that into your Skype. I accept you straight away as my friend. And you can come live on the radio. I guess we're not going to have much time in a lunchtime slot for that, Joe. But we are running back at 4 o'clock. We're going to run a post-conference programme. And we'd like some real phone live chatting where you can come. Tell us what you thought about the day. Tell us what you thought went well, what didn't go so well, how we can improve it. And tell us what the ideas you've got coming out of today's whole session are. And just before we go into the next session, thanks very much for the pictures of the cups. I didn't know you all cared so much. I have to say the two I like is I like that top right traditional cup. But even more is someone drinking from a German beer mug under that. What is in that cup? I'd love to know. Tell us in the chat. Okay, Joe, into the next record. What are we going to play next after the Wookiees?
We have some piano from Aima, I think it said. For the track is Miss is a Sea Fish.
Miss is a Sea Fish. That could be you talking a bit of teacher, couldn't it? But, let's hear some piano. James, welcome to Sounds of the Bazaar. We're live on the radio on the SSBR special show.
Right.
Now, you've done analysis, I understand, the Higher Education Framework document. Congratulations, because I've not even had time to start reading it. What's in that document, James?
Oh, thank you. Well, it's only a couple of hundred pages long, so there's a fair amount. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of anticipation. And there are some basic messages for the sector.
And what are those basic messages?
Well, its purpose was to replace Deering. The Deering report has been our guideline for the last 15 years, and now we have a new report. But it is clearly published at the time of recession. And so it's a report that's clouded by the recession and influenced by the fact that it comes from a new department, which is Business, Innovations and Skills. And so what it's saying to higher education is that the amount of core funding in the future is not likely to grow. But what will grow is targeted funding or contested funding, as the government calls it. And this will be growing in specific areas. And the one that they've looked for particularly is to use higher education to break this huge social conflict that we have in Britain between vocational and academic education.
So they're trying to bring vocational into the universities?
They're trying to make it possible for youngsters and adults who have got vocational qualifications to take them further. So they are looking for universities to grow higher level skills training. That is the identified weakness of the British economy, and they think that by investing heavily in this area, it will both improve social mobility and improve our capacity to respond to the recession.
But what about those people who say that's just making the universities into very much a tool of the economy? What about learning in that context? What about education?
Well, I think that's a fair challenge, and it's been one that Mandelson has been attempting to cope with. Clearly, his department is the Department for Business, Innovation and Skills, so it almost goes as written, given that there will be huge business influence. And Mandelson is saying to higher education, you have got to engage more with business. And he is also saying to business, you have got to engage with more with higher education. So, you know, that is a clear government position. And just in parentheses, I don't think a Tory position will be very different. But the other thing that Mandelson has said is that there's something very important about the way we teach. And he's focusing very heavily on what are called skills for employability. And he sees that skills development as a function of very, very good teaching. So I think we might be looking at a more subtle, more thoughtful way of responding to Mandelson's challenge than simply making a dichotomy between business and academia. And I suspect that high-quality professional teaching might have something to do with it.
And in terms of change, because, of course, the conference we're at today is all about institutional pragmatics, institutional change, how do you see this changing institutions?
Well, I think this is the ticking time bomb inside Mandelson's proposals. I think this threatens some universities. There are paragraphs which recognise that some universities may have to merge. And in the past, I think we've always assumed that those are going to be the financially weaker universities that come perhaps from the polytechnic sector or the small college sector. I'm not sure that is what Mandelson is saying about the future. I think the polytechnics, the ex-polytechnics, and the vocationally focused universities are going to get quite boosted by the contested funding. But Mandelson is determined to ensure that universities publish the evidence that they are preparing students for employability. And so I suspect that there are some what we would call more traditional universities, pre-92 universities, that are going to feel themselves much more out on a limb. And the amount of change making or change responding that they are going to be faced with could be quite painful. So I think the polytechnic sector is already motoring quite effectively in this direction. I'm not sure that some of the other universities are doing so.
This is a very strange message, isn't it, James? What about the technology in this? I read the Guardian report, and I have to admit I've not looked at the full report. But they were talking about e-learning playing a bigger role in the future.
Well, this is very interesting because the government has got one clear vision for e-learning. And it is to do with its deep, deep desire. This is a serious desire, and I think it will be backed with extra funding. to produce a much more flexible higher education service in the future. They really are quite damning of the traditional 18 to 21 year old sprint universities that take the best kids from the best schools and etc., etc. All right, what they're interested in now is, under the heading of employer engagement, is every form of new type of course, the foundation degrees, higher skills development, higher apprenticeship development, employer co-funded, work-based assessment, and in every one of those types of new model that they're grabbing on, they see IT as the magic WD-40 of the system that will bring these changes about. In the engagement between universities and employers, they are assuming that IT will be the bridge, the route, the essential that will make the thing happen. That's where they are placing IT at the moment.
So it's becoming central to the whole vision which is contained within the HE framework.
Absolutely. I think if you look at the classic target of somebody who's vocationally or craft trained, a man or woman in their 30s looking for further skills development, there's a huge market. British industry spends £5 billion on this market every year. Universities get 6% of that, and Mandelson is saying to us, go out there and get some more. Now, that sort of person, perhaps for the family, perhaps with heavy business responsibilities, is not going to want to wait till September, queue up and join a course, go to Freshers Week, bunk off halfway through the term in a reading week. That's not that they need at their desk, in their house, straight away, the delivery that they require.
Is this a change or die message, James?
If there isn't much money for central government funding during a recession, the answer to your question is yes.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry we're running out of time. It's back to more music now, but thanks, James, for coming on the programme. And there's a lot of messages we're all going to have to think about in what you've said. Sounds of the Bazaar, live internet radio, SSBR special, live into Illuminate, live on the radio, streaming. Well, thanks to James Wisdom for that. What did you think about it? I must say I was fairly surprised by some of the things he said, something I can agree with. I think I disagree with a lot of it. But certainly when he says the future of the older universities may be in danger, he thinks the polytechnic centres, the old polytechnics are going to deal better. He thinks the government's committed to technology as introducing flexibility. He's condemning of these things like reading weeks. That was James Wisdom, who's produced advice for CEDA on the government's framework document for HE, which he also thinks the Tories will support. I think this debate needs to go on, and it is going to go on in the JISC online conference, where we go session, do institutions have a future? And you can pick up some of that either on the JISC conference site when it opens next week, or on Cloudworks, where there's a whole cloud running the discussion on that. And we'll be putting out all the interviews as podcasts immediately after this programme. They'll be available on the Pontedusky site. That's www.pontedusky.org. And we'll be feeding them through to the SSBR site. OK, we've not got much time left, so let's go in and see if we can get a couple more tracks in before the end of lunchtime, rather, and keep putting your pictures up. And I'll tell you about those light bulbs in a moment. Joe, what are we going to play next?
Next, we have a track from Christoph Mark called My Misfit Ways.
My Misfit Ways. Is that another message from Peter Mandelson, I wonder? SSBR online conference, online in Illuminate Institutional Pragmatics. We played you for the breakfast slot, we're playing you for the lunchtime, and we got one more slot at 4 o'clock UK time, I think, and that's going to be a post-conference programme, and I'd really like you to come on the programme. If nothing else, if you've never experienced live internet radio before, this is your chance. We hijack the Skype calls, just Skype in to Graham Atwell, that's GrahamAtwell, and we'll pick up your Skype call and bring you on the air and tell us what you thought about the conference, and tell us if you've got any comments coming up about James's Wisdom's speech. By the way, Sebastian says, hey Graham, what are you playing right now? Well, we're not playing anything right now, Sebastian. I guess you're talking about the last track because we got a bit of delay on this programme. What was the last track, Joe?
The last track was Christoph Mark, and there's actually loads and loads of his stuff. He's got a couple of albums on, if you check him out on the Yamendo site, which you can get through Google.
And that's all free music, Joe. Free to download.
All free and all legal.
All legal. And which is your favourite track? I mean, you spent quite a lot of time searching for music for this programme, I know. And we haven't had that many complaints so far, just a few. What's your favourite track out of all the stuff, the legal downloads you picked?
It's one that I don't think we're going to get to play, but it's Broken Stereo by Sean Fournier, who actually was the first... was the first track we played, Put the World on Stop.
So Broken Stereo by Sean Fournier, and you can find all these tracks on the Creative Commons Yamendo site. That's www.yamendo, spelt with JJAMENDO.com. And we've just about got time for 30 seconds to play ourselves out, and then it's back to the conference. 30 seconds, Josie, and we'll let the mic back over to you.
Reggae music official culture, international skanking, rocky steady, Zion High, yeah man, mother. So, me say, remember. Again.